Good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning for episode 18 of Coffee with the Coder. And yes, we could talk all day, but we only have a coffee break. So we are going to get started and ask some wonderful questions and get Paula and her team take on what they're about. And I'm not sure about the setting on this one, so you may want to speak to that after I ask you the question. But our dear friend Ida, who is in Georgia, has asked another question. And thank you, Ida, because she's won twice the mugging. Okay, so she has two official Coffee with the Coder mugs, and she's in the running for one today. So here's the question. Can you ask the experts what CPT code would be used to put in an antibiotic spacer in the site, superglue teal, of a dorsal column stimulator battery that was removed due to an infected wound? She says, I came up with 11981, but I'm not real confident.
Okay, Ida. Yeah, I think Ida's trying for a set of four or six, and I love you, Ida. Guys, Ida and I know each other, and she asked some really great questions. You are correct. CPT code 11981 would be the correct code to report the insertion of the antibiotic spacer. We basically have three options in CPT for reporting biodegradable drug delivery implants. So first of all, there's 11981, which was our choice for insertion of the biodegradable drug delivery implant, 11982 for removal of the non-biodegradable drug delivery implant, and 11983 for removal with reinsertion. So, of course, since the only thing that is being performed is the insertion, 11981 would be correct. Pam?
Yes, I'm sorry. I think that my phone is the problem.
I'm going to step out for a second
and get some different kind of technology. But if you don't mind, I do know that you have this list. If you would, I thank you for that one. And if you would go ahead and ask or just tell us about
the next question.
Yes, because I'm going to need to reconnect. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, sorry, guys, for that little bit of technical delay, but I will go on and we do, of course, have backups to our backups. So, and we have all seen these questions. So the second question that came to us today was from Barbara in North Carolina. And she is asking a question that is related to an inpatient rehab facility. She says, does the coding rule for not coding possible, probable, or questionable diagnoses apply when coding the etiologic diagnosis on the IRFPI? The doctor documented T12 compression fracture etiology felt to be secondary to osteoporosis. Can you code this as a compression fracture due to osteoporosis since it sounds like the physician is not sure about whether it's due to the osteoporosis or not? Does the possible probable coding apply only to the UBO4 coding, or does it also apply to the IRFPI? Our coders do both codings, so they're trying to understand if the same rules apply. So thank you for that question, Barbara. And actually, the coding rule does apply in the inpatient rehab facility setting if the physician is not clear and he or she documents the condition as possible, probable, suspected. Different from the acute care hospital, we're not allowed to report it on the IRFPI or the UBO4 claim form. So that would include the etiologic diagnosis. So I would say in this case, if you felt that his documentation was not clear, then I would query because, you know, of course that could change the code to an osteoporotic fracture versus, a different code. So it would be two different codes. So from that case, Barbara, yes, query for clarification in this case, but the rule does apply to both the IRFPI, and that is, for those of you on the line who are not familiar with inpatient rehab facility coding, that is the inpatient rehab facility patient assessment instrument, and that document sets the payment rate. So it's very important that we get the codes on that document correct, even more so than the UBO4 when we're talking about CMS cases, Medicare cases.
Thank you.
All right.
Pam,
you're back.
I'm back. I came in the middle of your it's stable there. But anyways, I think I've got the technology straightened out, hopefully. Let me go ahead and throw the next question for you. This person is not in the entry because they decided to remain anonymous, but it is an inpatient rehab question regarding the pre-admission assessment. So this is the scenario they've outlined. The clinical liaison at the inpatient rehab completes a pre-admission screening on day one. The physician reviews, agrees, and completes pre-admission assessment also on day one. The expected admission date is day two, but the patient has some medical issues and remains in the acute care hospital. The clinical liaison continues to follow the patient and on day six completes an updated pre-admission assessment, which is in the 48-hour time frame. The patient is then admitted to the inpatient rehab on day seven. Is the physician required to complete an additional pre-admission assessment within 48 hours of the admission after that, and, you know, since the first time the physician did that was day one, and now we're on day seven?
Okay. All right. And thanks, guys. This we answer questions that are not only just coding. I know that you who know me know we do a lot of work with inpatient rehab facilities as well as acute hospitals and physician offices. Process and revenue cycle. So in this case, the physician does not have to complete an additional assessment, but he must sign off and agree with the pre-admission screen that was updated, completed by that clinical liaison. So the answer is no, he doesn't have to do an additional assessment, but he does have to sign off and agree or disagree with the information in that updated document.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think we have time for one more because we got like 3 minutes left. So we might fudge just a wee little bit. This one is coming from a physician practice in Florida. Thank you, Josie, for this question. She has a question regarding one of the patients that had been worked on together in a group. Coding 0238T to Medicare is denied as non-covered services. And initially, she wanted to know, was there another code? Previously, this service had been coded with 35482 and 35492, which were deleted and replaced by 0238T. So their payer, First Coast, has a LCD that says this is a non-covered service.
Okay. So, yeah, to our knowledge, Josie, and thank you for that question, there has been no change in the coverage by Medicare, but some payers will cover it. The rules are clear, however, if a code exists for a service, and we're talking in CPT, that code must be utilized. So the fact that we have that new technology code, the 0238T code, rather than a Category 1 CPT code, means that we are required to use that code when that service is performed. So our research reflected that the procedure is not done routinely, and at current, of course, Medicare will not cover it. Some secondary payers will, but Medicare will not. Noridian also posted an article back on 4/2/17 that basically says they won't pay for anyone over 60, but that it really isn't medically necessary for anyone under 60 to have this space or place. So, it's not a good answer, so it's something that they're not going to pay for, but we are required. And those codes, and let me just say to you, those Category 3 codes, the ones that end with the letter T and CPT, we want to use them anyway because the payers are gathering information on their use. And so then they make decisions in the future over where they will pay for those services and pull them into a full AMA, then would make a full decision whether to bring them into a full CPT Category 1 code. So there you go.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so we're going to find out who is the winner of the official mugging for today. I've got the names of those non-anonymous questioners, and I've stirred them all up in my hat on my desk. And the winner for today is Barbara in North Carolina. So congratulations, Barbara. We're so happy to be able to send you an official mug. We're going to call that a mugging, although it's not the one you think of when you hear that word. And I'll be contacting you shortly to get the address that you'd like to use. Thanks a bunch of everyone for joining us today for episode 18. Episode 19 is in 2 weeks on Monday, August the 28th, and be sure to get your questions in.